Speech off. Hello, audio boomers. It's about 10 minutes past midnight on the 27th of February, the second last day of February. I wanted to talk about an idea which I first read about a few weeks ago, and then they spoke about it on this week's In Touch from the BBC, and played some samples of it. Talking about this idea that's been coined audio film. And the thinking is that if you have appropriately immersive sound in films, then you don't need description. I think that this is an erroneous idea. I should say first that, of course, I have not listened to one of these films, and I understand that the sound that's been produced on these things is quite amazing because they're using the full surround sound capabilities as opposed to what they tend to do in regular films. And the reason why they don't in regular films so much is because, first of all, they only mic up... they usually only record one channel of audio when they film on the soundstage, when they actually film the actors. And so that's all kind of in the middle. And also, because the pictures on screen often center in on the person talking, there's an expectation that that voice will be in the middle to line up with the pictures. And I get that. That makes a lot of sense. Apparently, the stuff that's been created for this project, researching this particular thing, is quite amazing. But what they've essentially done is made an audio drama that sounds like a film. It's got gaps in dialogue and all that sort of stuff like you would find in a film. But it isn't a film, and it wasn't shot as a film. It was recorded as a multi-channel audio thing. And, yes, they can do amazing things with even just stereo audio for anyone who's listened to very well-produced radio dramas. You can hear it sound like, for example, if someone's upstairs, it really sounds like they're upstairs. But one of the reasons that they can do this is because they don't have to worry about the picture side of it. Apart from the fact that they don't do things like this when they're making films, when they're making films, you have a problem that you don't have to worry about when you're making audio drama, and that is you need to keep the microphones out of the shot. This is as big a deal than you might think. It's quite a bit of fiddle to have the microphones. That's why you often hear a bit more room sound. In fact, the really expensive films often get the actors to redub all their lines and lip sync them with the acting that they've already done, because they get better sound quality than they do it that way. So, in more cheaper productions and stuff, you hear the sound of the room that they're in, like, quite a deal. And you hear it through the voice channel because you don't hear it around you hear it in the middle. And the reason why that is because the microphone has to be far enough away that it's not filmed by the camera. So that's one of the reasons. Now, I think they still could do more about making the soundscape in films more immersive, and certainly some films have been excellent in that regard. Like, I saw Saving Private Ryan in the movie theatres, and the battle scene at the beginning and also the one at the end is amazing, because there's gunfire all around you. It's really, really amazing stuff. Difficult as hell to follow, but... and I'll get onto that in just a minute. But the sound was amazing. The process of making, what they described as an audio film, their sample piece that they used, and basically saying, you can hear the sounds of different environments. First of all, I think maybe making different spaces sound different artificially, you know, can kind of be a bit clunky. Like, you know, you notice that, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but particularly I've noticed on TV shows, you know, you see a particular room, you know, regularly in the program, but it's not until you see a scene where there's an awkward silence in that particular room that you suddenly notice that there's a clock in it that ticks. You know, it almost becomes comical. And they were talking about giving different rooms different characteristics. And I suppose it is realistic to a point, but you don't want to have sounds just for the sake of having sounds. It should be realistic. It shouldn't be done just so that you can know which room someone's in. Because at the end of the day, that's not all that's important. And I'll get onto this in just a moment. And the thinking seemed to be that you could... the thing that bothers me the most, and as I say, I haven't been intimately involved in the process, but I have been reading up on, you know, I've read a news item about this, and now I've heard the program on In Touch, and the thinking seems to be that you can convey everything that you need to convey about a film without actually having description. At least that's the way I read it. Maybe it was simplification on the part of journalism, but that was the way that I read this. And I don't think you can. I don't think you can at all. And to prove my point, I would like anyone who's interested in this subject to try a little experiment. I would like you to find a film that's described, to watch it without description, and then to watch it with description. Now, I have actually done this through circumstances. I've seen a number of films that I thought were quite heavily dialogue-driven, and, you know, okay, there's some little bits where there are things going on, but they're probably fairly inconsequential, and then you've got the gist of the story, and you followed it completely, and it was no problem at all. And you would gladly recommend it to anyone else to go and see. That's fine, but you watch the same film with description, and you'll find that there are important things that you miss because of the way that films are made. Things are told visually. And yes, I believe that things should be part of the creative process. I actually believe that audio description should be part of the creative process. I think that, you know, the writers, you know, if they want to, should have input into how the descriptions are done. I think that they should be using consultants or production companies that specialise in it so that it's done properly. But I think it should be part of the creative process. If the director says, you know, was to say, no, I actually think that we could have a more poetic description here, you know, it could be less kind of a bolted on solution. Come on, hey, come on, good girl. And I think that to say, oh well, you know, we watch TV all the time and we do follow it and stuff like that, and there's really no need for description. I think there's a difference between following it to the point where you can follow the plot. And Rosie, come on. And really knowing what's going on. And how many times have we watched a movie or a TV program where we've been following it perfectly, more or less, or at least so we thought. And then there's a visual ending where nothing is said. How many times has that happened? I was in Melbourne on holiday, as it turns out, actually, and in 1994. And they were doing a demonstration program, and they were providing audio description for Australian-made program on Channel 9, and they were broadcasting the audio of the program with the description on radio for the printer handicapped in Melbourne. And so I got to hear this, and an important piece of paper that's relevant to the to the, you know, the drama of the program, was burned at the end of the program. And you couldn't hear the, you know, with the way it was done, you couldn't hear the fire or anything like that. And it was really important that it happened. And that was the end of it. And there was nothing said. And it's like, wow, this is a really good example of why we need this. And yes, I agree that sometimes it's not done so well. But this is an issue of implementation. It doesn't mean we should knock the concept. I'm a big supporter of audio description. Yes, I do believe that we need to have ways to allow the artwork to come through. I totally agree with that completely. It bothers me when the description talks all over it or squashes down the audio so much when it's on that we don't get much of a feel for the actual film, and the describers feel like they need to fill every second that has no dialogue in it with some description. And the argument for doing that says that, you know, well, there's stuff on screen all the time, so that if you're not speaking every second that you can, then we're missing something. And they're probably right in that, but you have to let some of the sound through as well, you know, because that is the way we perceive this thing. We aren't wanting to listen to a transcript of the film. We want to hear the film itself, and the soundscape of the film is part of what we're hearing. And certainly, I think that there's an argument to be made for, you know, using the research that's been done on this audio film thing. There's an argument to be made to have description tracks on 5.1 surround tracks on discs rather than put description tracks on stereo. And so you have to choose between surround or description, and you can't have both. I think that's... that this is perhaps a good argument for that. You know, give us our 3D soundscapes and a description, please. That would be great. And maybe with some of the sound design principles. Rosie, for heaven's sake, come on. She keeps on going back there and then doesn't do anything. And then I go to bring her in and then she turns around and wants to go back again and doesn't do anything again. And this is the second time tonight, so I've had enough. So yes, maybe if they incorporate some of these principles, the describers can say less. That would be a good thing, but I don't think you can get rid of it entirely, because it just, films are not made that way. And even in the small example that was played on In Touch, if it had been a film, you know, it was a scene where there was some awkward silences and stuff, and we would want to know about some of the non-verbal communication stuff going on there. And I think not including it just for the sake of not having description is really... I don't think that's really good enough. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. I'd be interested to know what people think. If you haven't heard the In Touch piece and you would like to, you can find In Touch on Audioboom, or of course on BBC. But certainly, if you're outside the UK, easiest place to find it is probably here on Audioboom. So, be interested to know what you think about that. Anyway, I will speak to you, all you good folks, again soon. Bye.